Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den. Stepping in, there's three of us here tonight. It's your boy, Alex Brown, the swag, I guess. That's what they call me in the stadium. I was happy to be back. It was awesome to see everybody last week, by the way, on opening. I know I wasn't here, but I was trying to say hi to everybody, but it was nice to see everybody. Here are my boys today, Ryder. We got Cleon. We're coming back from a little bit of a, some would say, a hiccup. A draw. You were there, Cleon. How was it? How were you? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little more nervous about this game coming up Tuesday. So, the game, I mean, it is what it is, man. A lot of rotation. There wasn't too much chatter about the rotation. Everybody kind of pretty much understands, you know what I mean? You know, everybody knows what we got coming up, what we got to deal with. You know, a lot of frustration still, though. It was still a frustrating game, not necessarily with the loss, but with just, you know, the our style of play, I guess you could say.
Yeah, some new team, new year, some same underlying issues, maybe. Ryder, what's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
I'm pretty good. I'm not as down as Cleon is as far as this Cincy match translates to our trip down to Mexico. I think it was all a strategic move. I said it on Den After Dark that I'd rather have two draws in a row and get one against Cincy and one against Tigres than beat Cincy and get caved in by Tigres 3 days later. So five matches in 15 days, you got to rotate. We're a deeper squad this year. Yeah, the offense isn't gelling like everybody wants us to immediately do, but You gotta manage the player's time.
Yeah. Well, we got definitely an introduction to international competition this week. We've waited a long time for this, and for some clubs they wait a lot longer. So I am grateful, obviously, that we're already kind of hopping in here after winning the Open Cup last year. But we'll thank some sponsors before we dive into that. We'll do them quickly. Accurate Mortgage Group. If you need help buying a loan, refinancing, call Leo at Loans by Leo or at AMG Lenders. You can hit them up. Of course, Eddie sells insurance too. If you need any of that, make sure you call him. I get all my stuff through him. He really, truly does actually help me out with that. Field Turf USA, they do all the pitches and the side of the pitches. You see it at our place. They've redone it. I think they just redid it this year. So I think we sweep through those. We got all those done. Appreciate all those quote unquote sponsors that we have and things they do. But let's dive into it. I know we talked a lot of it on the Den After Dark that we had, you know, right after the game. Obviously everybody's a little bit heated. We're talking about a lot of that conversation was about Cara again, right? And how he performed or did not perform, lack thereof. Once again, we had one shot on goal in another match at home, but luckily we're able to salvage a draw. Now for me, the lineup came out. I see rookie center back, first ever start, and Rodrigo Schlegel at the center back pairing. I'm thinking to myself, FC Cincinnati, a lot of the people picked this seem to be really high in the league, you know, and they have a prolific offense specifically returning, and a guy that's really hurt us in the past in Lucho Acosta. So 0-0 draw on paper, excited, happy about. To me, when I saw the lineup, I'm excited about that result. I think that was a really good result heading into Tigres. Now Cara, I think a lot of people were left more to be desired, but if you're interested in hearing more, definitely listen more of that on our spaces that we have recorded. Ryder, let's start with you. I want to hear what you had to think about the match other than Cara. What positives did you see? Who did you like? Did you like anything that you saw out there? Tell us what you thought about the match.
I think that Thorlson is going to be dangerous. I think that his speed out there and the amount of pressure of, and I believe the only actual shot on goal came from a chance he created. And he had a couple just in the first half where he was immediately showing his impact. And yeah, we didn't get the shots to land, but there was a lot of promise in that. Everyone's saying the same thing. Oh, he's going to be a problem. And if he can get the ball to where it needs to go, the sky's the limit. But we've said that before and it doesn't always work out. So I think that's a big positive. I like seeing him almost immediately get minutes as far as coming in as a secondary player to fill in some minutes while we rest up the starters. Ojeda and Facundo kind of shared responsibilities during this match. And Facundo had an all right match. I don't think he was going 100% because he was saving himself for Mexico. And Ojeda came in. Was Ojeda the last sub or the second last sub? Because it was so weird to see us do subs and we're out of them at the 70th minute. That has to be a record.
I think he was second last. No, Ojeda came in kind of early. I think Facundo was out by like before the 60th.
Which is, sure, again, minute management that
yeah.
They're just swapping them out.
Yeah, which he didn't want to come out, by the way, but yeah.
Well, that's that dog in him.
Yep. At least somebody got it.
That tells you that we were definitely, you know, saving it for Tuesday. I think, you know, like Eddie had tweeted, the Dogger Dan. Like, as Eddie, we got to give him that shout out. I did like that one, but I think he played well too.
Oh yeah.
Like, Leon, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because when I was, you know, growing up, I played sports, and in high school I played American football, and every year, you know, we had the same issue kind of starting the first couple games. The offense was always a little bit lackluster. It always took a little bit more time for the offense to gel, the receivers to get the timing down, the offensive line to really get at it. Just that, you know, when we started out well, that's because the defense held us together the first couple of games. Now, do you think that has anything to similarities right here, what we're dealing with? You know, obviously we bring in a new DP. We got a couple of new guys coming in. We do have to do some rotation after the first match. Do you think that's affecting, you know, us getting off to a start? Or do you think, you know, are you worried, or are you just kind of attributing to we're gelling right now?
No, I honestly don't. A lot of people say that, right? And it's like, oh, because it's, you know, the offense isn't working, or this isn't working because it's the second game. It's everyone's second game. You know what I mean? Shoot, it's St. Louis's second game ever. This isn't like, even with the car criticism, when it's like, oh, it's two games. No, it's not two games. These problems that we're seeing are not new problems. These are problems that we've been seeing for a while. All last season, we had the same issue. Except for the Open Cup, once we clearly made a complete tactical switch during the Open Cup run. And guess what? We won the championship. What happened right after? We switched right back. How did we finish? The same way. All of a sudden, we couldn't get shots on goal. We flamed out. This is not a new thing. It's pretty clear what's going on to me. It's square peg and round. You know
Is
what I mean?
It's just not, Cara, do you think?
It's not. It's the main. I really think that's the main issue. Honestly, I think it's the main issue. It was the issue last year, and it looks the same now. It's not necessarily him. It's not that it's not necessarily him. It's your wingers. Your wingers are the, as far as that attack goes, they're the engine. We run it. That's where we run everything through. We run everything through the wings. Always have. Even the fullbacks, if you want to count them, But this team, and it's a lot of it. It's not just. It's a combination of. Poppy's system, and a little bit of Card just doesn't really fit that. Poppy's system by nature is not going to produce a whole lot of attack. Because he's so conscious on keeping in shape to not give up goals. That a lot of times, the only time you're going to get attack is off counter. You know what I mean? They want to counter, they want to break, they want to get out fast. And when that's the case, if all you're trying to do is create turnovers and counter and basically trying to use speed, you got the wrong guy up there to do that. As far defensively and attack wise, is not the guy. That's not the guy that's going to fit what you're trying to do. That's why last year when they just switched out and they put Benji there, what, we all of a sudden we look like a completely different team. It's not like Benji was scoring goals during assists. All of a sudden we're dropping three goals and whatnot. It's not like Benji was banging a whole bunch of goals in. He wasn't. It's just once you get a guy out there up top that can actually press and do what Poppy wants. Out of what he wants and needs out of that position to create that havoc and put that pressure on that back line to get the ball, have to get the ball out quicker, a lot faster. And a guy that can actually help you when you're in those transition moments and trying to get out on counters and things like that. Icardi's just, he's not built for that. He's, it's almost like Carranza, man. Like Carranza was over there in Miami and he just looked like a nobody. And then he gets to the right team. And then like Philly, where, they had, I can never say this dude's name. They had Shabliklo, whatever. I can't even say his damn name.
Shabilovich or whatever.
Yeah. That guy. he gets in over there. He can fill in for all them positions like nothing. Cause it's, that's how they're built. They're built for that type of nine. And with our players, we're not built for that. And it's not like, oh, it's the player's fault because they're not, bro. We shouldn't Ojeda and Faku and dudes like that. They shouldn't be the ones adjusting their game just so Urchin Carr can fit. You know what I mean? He's not that good. It's not a shot at him. He's not the guy to sit there, and that's like asking. I know Faku and all the name Michael Jordan. That's like asking Michael Jordan to switch his game up so Dennis Rodman can get more comfortable in the offense, bro. Like, no, you don't do that. You got to put different dudes in, man. And whether it's Enrique, whether it's even Duncan, like even if those guys, you bring those guys in and they're not scoring, I feel like the attack's going to open up much more and it's going to free up the other guys like Faku and all these guys much better. Thorson, all these guys like to play fast, man.
Yeah, that's the key to me is the speed.
Yes.
And it's like, it reminds me, I mean, we have this team that's just like super, super, that's built super, super well all the way around, right? It's got all these, and now Mikey Holiday's coming in to his own, you know what I mean? And then if we could figure out that other fullback position solidly, everything else is looking just awesome, right? But then you hit this concrete wall at striker, and then when Ramiro came in, it almost was just like you put a battery in, like you put a battery in the wrong way, and then you flip the battery the right way, and then everything worked properly. You know what I mean? Duncan might be the number two by the end of the year, and I appreciate Cara, and he did have a decent season last year with stats compared and what he was able to perform, but he started off better and then has been on a constant kind of decline, at least in my opinion.
For me, it's not. And see, that's where, for me, that's where a lot of it gets twisted up is because we're focusing. I think we focus too much on how many goals does the number nine have? You know what I mean? So if Carr had, okay, he had the most goals, or he had double digits, he had 12. Okay, great.
Are we just looking for another Kyle Larin kind of season? Is that what we're
not. We're focusing too much on it's about the whole team. Like what good does it do if you're focusing your entire attack built around trying to get one guy goals? It's one thing if you can talk about you got slots on somebody up there, right? But we don't have the game changer up there like that. So we shouldn't be, our 100% focus should not be on trying to make sure Erskine Carr or whoever else is up there trying to get goals. Like, what's the point of, okay, we're force feeding this in and slowing down our play to make sure that this number nine is going to get 12 goals, but the team's only going to score 38 for the whole damn season. You know what I mean? That's not good. that's not good. Like, what – I mean, it's better if you have – even if you have somebody like Benji, and Benji, like I said, Benji wasn't scoring goals, and let's say you get Benji up there and he's starting instead, and he scored 8 goals instead of Carr's 12, but the team's scoring 50. You know what I mean? You just – that's what just – the end result is supposed to be how many teams – what player or what system or what style is going to get the most goals out of this team? Everyone's all focused on how many goals is the number, who's going to score the most goals as number 9. That doesn't matter.
It's a great
like
point.
It doesn't matter. Like, the team needs to score more goals. And so yeah, like,
he's a cog. He's a yeah. huge cog in the rotation and the whole yeah. gear so box
if,
right now.
So if his style is too slow to maximize what we're going to get out of Faku and Ojeda, Thorolson, even Mauricio, whoever.
Gaston Gonzalez, Gaston, he looked pretty good.
You know what I mean? If his style is complete opposite of all these other guys, and all these other guys are counter dudes, man. They're all counter, they're all attack, they're all get on the foot right away and let's go. They're not slow down. Even somebody like Mikey Halliday, right? He's not much of an attacker, but when you can't get him in on anything, what is it? It's the, they're going to leave him open on the side, and he is decently fast, and he gets out there on that break, and they get it out to him. So even somebody like Halliday, it's all about speed and on a counter and on break. It's not, we can't slow this down. Like, we're on this slow snail's pace, trying to send in these crosses to a guy, mind you, a guy that doesn't really seem to be that good in the air for as big as he is, which is wild to me. Like, not just in the box, but even just at midfield, when we're just trying to keep possession or kick the ball upfield and just hold your ground, bring the ball down and get us possession.
Yeah. I don't
get it.
I didn't check the stats from this last game. I know the first game, I think he was 2 of 9 or 2 of 11. It was really horrible. And I know Ramiro Henrique had more aerial duels won in the first game than Cara did in, you know, 1/3 of the amount of time played. So, and he's also 10 inches shorter. So take with that what you want. But, you know, I like Ramiro for a lot of reasons. All things considered, without Cara, you know, even if you just tell me there's a guy that is the same, like you say, Cleon, the same build, the same stature, that just the type of play, I think Ramiro is the guy that's going to open it up a little bit better. You know, you look at the successful teams in this league that play really well on opening weekend. Teams that won possession were 1 in 10. They won one game. That one 50% or more possession. That's not where you don't want to be in the possession game. That's not MLS anymore. That, you know, who changed that was when Atlanta came in with Joseph and Almiron. And you look at all those guys, and we got a few guys who can be really much very, you know, comparable to those guys, but we do not have anywhere near the impact at striker that a team like Atlanta had, or even like LAFC has had with Vela and then Chicho. You know, it's last year was really nice for them the last couple of years, and it's you got to have that guy that, like you said, Cleon, wants to put your nose down and run and go. His first instinct's not always to have his back to the goal to receive and hold up. You know, there's a time and a place for that, and in Poppy's system, that might be all the time and the entire place in Poppy's system. He may love that, but I don't think the team that has been built is made for that hold up play. Like, it's just almost agonizing to watch, because we know how much talent is there for sure. And when they're playing for free in the preseason, we're scoring, you know, and obviously it's a little bit more free between both teams, but it looked a little bit more fun, and now it just looks a little bit more, you know, thought out and prepared, and it doesn't look like that may be a benefit. Suds and duds, I think we all agree who the dud is, so we don't. Oh, Alex R. Ryder, sorry, I didn't see that. Let me read these things. What's up,
Bubba? Oh, good. So to go back to one point you made about the first couple matches of the year and gelling when it comes to offense, one question I always that was brought up during Den After Dark was, how many matches do we have until we hit the panic button? And I also want to give a shout to the defense, because we're giving criticism to the offense for not putting shots on goal, but the defense has now been locking it down for two whole matches. That's 180 minutes of shutout ball from Pedro, who's putting his body on the line. Mikey Halliday's putting in good shifts. It's Robin Jansen. I mean, even Schlegel looked somewhat good at times, but it's just nice.
Salim looked pretty good too.
He did. He came in and he looked good too. It's nice to see that we have defensive depth and defensive prowess that can actually support the fact that the offense isn't clicking on all cylinders yet. So my questions are, do you think that how many matches do you think before we hit the panic button? And do you think this defense is going to hold us up in the meantime, or is this something we shouldn't rely on? Because they've looked good. The defenses look great, but this is not the 85 Bears.
I just think it depends on how soon Poppy makes the switch, and that's going to also depend on how it's received. Because if Poppy goes and makes a switch, you know, this weekend and we get goals, and obviously there's no worry. Or if he makes a switch and we don't get goals immediately and we're still having the same issues and we made the switch and it's still the same issues, then I don't, you know, where do we go from there? Then maybe that kind of brings in a panic a little bit more, because we're all sitting here thinking it's just one issue. And if that issue does get fixed, what we would think would be to get fixed, and it doesn't result in anything better, then you have to move on to something else. So I think that would maybe cause a little more panic as far as how many days or how many matches. I would say maybe, I don't know. I guess it really depends on how we look against Tigres, but I would say probably 6-8 matches. I mean, you don't want every point matters. I'm happy with 4 so far. We're looking great so far, but those are also 2 home matches. You know, so we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, I guess. You know, we won on opening day and drew against Cincinnati at home. Thank goodness. You know, Cleon, what are you thinking?
Yeah, like I got no issue with the point total we have through 2 games. None. That's, you know, you got to win, you got to draw. That's 4 points. That's 2.0. I mean, that's going to get you. That you're that's fine.
4 points off of 2 shots on goal.
Yeah, that's what the issue is. That's what the issue is, because that's not sustainable. We can't look like this. We're like, the whole reason we went out and literally unloaded the whole Wilf wallet on the attack this offseason was because they were like, yo, we can't play like this. This ain't good for nothing. Shoot, it's not even good for trying to get stands back in the fans back in the stands. It's just not. Nobody wants that, bro. It's just we can't. It's not we can't expect to. You can't expect, like, you spend all this money, you can't expect to be okay with this. You know what I mean? So it's like, through 2 games, whatever. But I mean, you're talking about, if you're not looking any different, like, ASAP, like, you got to hurry up and switch. But like, I mean, you could be like, oh, well, just how Poppy is or whatever. But even if that's the case, I feel like you still have to make, if that's the case, and okay, you're not going to get a bunch of 9 goals out of your 9, which is fine, whatever. If Poppy wants a press god at 9, then even that, you got 2 much better options for that style off the bench with the other 2 guys, because there's just more speed, there's more athleticism. There's, frankly, there's more aggression. Like, it's not good enough, man. Like, we made that switch last year. When we made that switch last year, everybody remembers, we looked like a completely different team. And that's when we just went and started rolling through people through US Open Cup. We won it. We switched right back right after. I thought, bro, we won the Open Cup. I was excited, because I'm like, okay, we finally figured out. We finally figured this attack out. They had benched or whatever. You know, you're playing a more athletic guy up top, even though they had to be using him as a 9 this whole time. And it was working, because Poppy didn't change his system that much. He tweaked it a little, But I mean, he was still, it's still Poppy. You know what he wants. You know what he wants to do. But I thought they'd have that figured out. But what happened is he switched it right back after. Remember, we all thought, remember people were sitting there, there was rumors, people were sitting there talking like, oh, he might be getting, transferred out of here. Remember that? Like, right? Yeah, because he got benched during the Open Cup. And then we went on that run and people was like, oh, we've got to figure it out. And then we switched right back and we literally flamed out for the rest of the season, bro. What we did, like, we got like, what, 4 or 5 points out of like the last freaking 20 or some crap? It was crazy. And yeah. And now we've brought in more players and the front office and everybody, clearly everyone sees it's an issue. That's why you're trying to unload your whole wallet into upgrading that attack. And so to sit there and come out and do the same thing, that's kind of crazy. Like, it's, you can't waste that, man.
You can't remember waste that. So, like, when we won the 6 in a row with Jason Kreis and Matt Doyle came on and was like, yeah, I know they won 6 in a row, but this team still sucks because they can't play any defense and they're only getting mm-hmm. lucky at the end of the games and winning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of feels like through 2 games, it kind of feels like the opposite. Like, we definitely could have easily lost both matches for sure.
Oh, we should have lost this.
Probably should have lost both. I mean,
100%.
When you think about the chances Red Bull had in the first match, especially the heavy touches and stuff that we had mm-hmm. in the first half that they didn't capitalize on, you know, we probably should have lost both of the matches, but we ended up getting a result. So, you know,
and the crossbar saved you this game.
Yes.
I think we need to.
Bro, that was on the doorstep. Like, there's no way. Bro, you let him shoot that. Who was that, Vasquez? You give him that, bro. You give him that a shot at that position without the goalie getting a hand on that 10 more times, and he's sinking like at least 8-9 of them, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
We're lucky to be on
20 goals or 22 points. Goals last year or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, we're lucky to be on 4 points.
And Alex, you're talking about we are underachieving and whatnot, but we should have, like you're saying, we should have lost those goals, given up those goals and lost those matches, and we didn't. And we've been on this program in the past and said, oh, we gave up easy goals, we dropped points. I don't think we dropped points in either one of these matches. I think, if anything, we got out with a well-fought and arguably questionable penalty 3 in the home opener, and then we gritted out a second team draw at home when we knew we were literally getting on a plane the next day.
Yeah,
those are the points that we need late in the season, when we, especially now that the playoffs, you get at least one, if not two, home playoff matches if you're in the top four. So those are important points. And why it's not sexy football, it's not going to put people in the stands early in the season, it's points. And that it's the defense giving the offense time to find their gel. And I would rather find out now if we need to either change our style or someone needs to go. I think it's going to be the latter, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong and that he comes alive like he did last year. He had a good run there last season, even though he fell off. And I'm optimistic that we can find some form to at least include him in this ongoing rotation. Because, again, it's not like he's going to be our guy every single week. I think we need more than one guy. I'd rather this be a team effort than relying on one or two players to score all our goals. I'd rather have 5 guys with 8 or 9 goals than 2 guys with 10 to 15 goals.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree with all that pretty much all that you said. I mean, the only thing is that I'm trying to say is that, you know, we've been fooled before, you know, so although these are good results.
That's called trauma.
Yeah. Although these are good results, you know, if the offense doesn't improve, and even if we still keep getting a draw here or a 1-0 win there off of a penalty, you know, although the results will be obviously beneficial, but you're playing on a teeter totter there. At any point, you know, things can unravel for you, just like they did for us that year with Jason Kreis, and we know how things can go with there. And we were on a high there, but
it's just bad juju.
But it's the opposite, you know. The defense is doing really well this year, which I'd rather have defense because defense wins championships. You know what I mean? But I believe the offense is going to gel. I believe Poppy is going to make an adjustment. I think, hopefully.
He said it here, folks. Send the emails to Alex.
No, he made that adjustment last year, but he made it so damn late.
In my,
but then he adjusted right back to his normal. So I don't
in
know.
My heart, in my very weird like feelings that Ramiro MRI news dropped, like just like kind of like me, just kind of like fluttered on into the Twitter world by like one person who tweeted it. Like maybe did he tweet it or maybe did he not tweet it? Nobody really knows, you know. And then the MRI thing happened, but then all of a sudden. MRI thing is good and Ramiro's on the plane to Mexico. I'm just thinking maybe we're just doing some more of what Orlando City is known to do around the league, kind of doing some little flip-flopping and playing around ahead of the arguably the biggest match in Orlando City history. So
I'm gonna make that sound effect my new phone text ringtone, by the way.
Yeah, something like that. But all right, Suds and Duds. We all know who the dud is. Is everybody going to say it, Cara?
Yeah, I ain't going to say the name. Everybody know who it is.
Okay. I just didn't know if anybody wanted to pull something out of the hat there.
Mm-mm.
All right, cool.
If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all at this point, bro. Just let's move on to the studs.
He'll improve in the next one. You got it, buddy.
The studs. Who you got, Cleon? Who's your stud?
I'm going to go with I want to go with one guy, but I'm pretty sure my boy Alex is going to take him. So I'm going to leave that meat on the bone for Alex. And I'll go with Pedro for this game.
Pedro, even though he needed the crossbar?
Yeah, even though he needed the crossbar, he made enough saves otherwise to let it slide.
All right, well, I'm gonna let you finish, Ryder. I'll go second. I'll take Robin Janssen. I know he only played a half, but I don't think we would have gotten the draw if he didn't play that second half. So if I'm gonna point the finger at anybody who salvaged a point for us, it was probably that man or the post, because he did change the game a little bit and kind of got Cincinnati on their toes for just long enough that we needed for them to be distracted to hold off. Ryder?
Thorlson, man. I said it earlier. Dagger Dan. I think he shows a lot of promise. I'm glad to see him getting in there and showing what he can do. If we can get him gelling and getting in some minutes, I think he's going to look really good off the bench. He looked good as a starter, but I think he's going to be amazing with fresh legs off the bench. So in a match where we were praising the defense and criticizing the offense, I want to give him a shout for creating some chaos and almost getting us on the board, even though I don't think it really had much of a chance. So
anybody plus, know I what just, the
I just love to say his name every chance I get, even though I'm almost positive I'm saying it wrong and I don't care.
Anybody know what the altitude is in Iceland?
In Iceland? No clue.
Where's
he from?
I know what it is in Monterey, though.
I mean, it's 1,600 feet above sea level. I mean, highest point, 7,000 feet.
Well, I mean,
on average, says 1,600 feet.
Monterey ain't that much. Monterey is only about 1,000 more than that.
That's definitely a lot I'm not more even than 80 attempt. In Orlando. So, I mean, Dagger Dan might be able to bring some sort of we may think about starting him. Just saying, I mean, he may have some experience at some altitude, or at least more than the others. So that'd be interesting.
I'm a real quick honorable mention because I didn't really get to talk about it. I will say, so it's not all negative on my game review. I will say I was pleasantly surprised with Mikey Halliday and you know, I know I don't like the kids with Mikey Halliday. I didn't say kid. I said kids, by the way. I'm not talking about Mikey.
All kids.
I was pleasantly surprised. You're just kids in general. Yeah. Mikey Salim. I was glad. I'm glad to see that it looks like we possibly can lean on them when we in times of need and things like that. And it's not, you know, you see them in the lineup and it's like, oh God, here we go as a death sentence. You know what I mean? Both look competent. Both look very competent this game. Also, Cartagena, I thought he looked well outside. He should have been sent off though. Outside of that, he should have been sent off for that. Yeah, bro. Yeah. But outside of that, I thought he had an excellent game, bro. Excellent. Like he looked really good up until that point where he should have got that red card right before the half. But, yeah, that's it for me.
I agree. Cartagena should have been definitely sent off. They've been mentioning that a lot on the broadcast for sure.
Oh yeah, bring that up. Oh yeah, he should have been off.
Ooh, I don't know about all that, but hey, we'll definitely take it for sure. All right, well, we'll move on into previewing our two matches for the week that we got. Yes, we said two. We got our introduction to international soccer. Club soccer that we got, you know, entered the Champions League of CONCACAF. Everybody's familiar with Champions League around the world, and here we are in our version. Obviously, runs a little bit different here, where we start in a round. This is a round of 32 or 16?
16.
Yeah, we were starting the round of 16, and you do a home and home. So we will be on the road at Tigres, which is the odds-on favorite, the defending champion in the Mexican League. They won the CONCACAF Champions League in 2020. They are a powerhouse in Mexican football and CONCACAF football in general. And we drew them in the first opening game of our introduction to international club football. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. We're going to go there straight off the bat. Tigres is going to be a very hostile environment. I'm sure they will show up and show out. I've heard we have a decent amount of fans traveling there too. So I'm hoping for a good match. Ryder, what are you thinking is going to happen? Are you thinking we stand any chance? I know that our boy Mike, who is on the pod, he talked with the Tigres pod today, the English Tigres pod, and they mentioned that they're worried about teams that are notorious for parking the bus. They're not very good against that, and he said maybe only a 1-0 win. So they didn't sound too optimistic. But Ryder, what are you thinking?
Tigres is a big threat. This is obviously they're back in the tournament after winning the whole thing in 2020. Actually won it in our house, actually. So they have some experience at winning in Orlando, but that was against LAFC in a CONCACAF, in a condensed CONCACAF Champions League during COVID. But they've won it once. They were runner-up three times. They've also had to watch their crosstown rivals in Monterrey win this whole shebang five times. So there's definitely a lot of they're a dominant top four force in honestly North America. Mexico and the U.S. are kind of trading volleys right now, with Seattle doing a big showing for the U.S. And we got the raw deal. We're playing the hardest team. This is going to be arguably the hardest match we have to play if we can get through this tournament, going to Mexico on 3 days rest. We've rested our guys. We've got a strategy in place, and the only hope I ever got was hearing Mike talk about his interview today with that podcast. I think that somehow, some way, we're going to pull this off and come out with a 1-1 draw. I think that we've got a chance, and it's going to be, and it's, everyone's going to overreact and think that we're the best club in the league. It's like, no, we just rested and took some strategy in, and poppied his way out of this. So that's what I've got. 1-1 draw. Take it back to Orlando and see what we can do.
Does anybody know if away goals still count?
No, they do not. After 180 minutes, if in Orlando there is not a clear winner, they will go to extra time and then penalties.
Cool. Thank you for that, Ryder. Cleon?
Did you forget my name for a second?
No, I was just thinking if I wanted to go yet, but I'm still.
Oh, okay.
I'm changing my opinion every day. Some days I wake up and feel like we're going to get trounced. Some days I'm feeling like we're going to shock the world. You?
Yeah, I think they're going to pull out a shock. I think they're going to pull out a shock, man, on Tuesday, and they're going to lose. Only by one goal. I'm hoping. I feel like for me, it's a successful trip. When you're talking about Tigres, that's a successful trip if you can go down there and lose by a single goal. I don't know if there could be 1-0, a 1-0 loss, or a 2-1 loss, 3-2, whatever. If they can come back with only being down one goal or less, I'll take it at this point. Multiple goals, yeah, I don't see that happening. Where it's a wrap for us. If we come back from Mexico down two goals, it's a wrap. That's the way I feel. That team's they're gonna put goals on the board, so we just gotta limit them, man. This might be a Poppy type game anyway, though, bro. He's kind of built for that park the bus, so he might be running his element right here. So it's crazy because I'm wondering if Antonio Carlos. I've been trying to watch his Instagram to see if they even made the trip. Because they all left out to today. I've seen a bunch of guys that I know made the trip. I haven't seen Carlos yet. I can't tell if he's on that plane or not. And if he's not, bro, what I'm thinking is like, you know, CONCACAF, you know, CCL and Mexican teams and all of this, bro. You know the shenanigans that goes on. If we out there with Rodrigo out there, man. While Rodrigo's kind of built for the shenanigans, I don't know, man. That could go one way or the other, bro.
I'm taking it. That's what you need. And the one way is a victory.
If they're gonna let him play and they're not gonna call stuff, then Rodrigo's literally built for this, bro. Like he's one of them.
We got a bunch of people built. If I'm Poppy,
oh we do. Oh we Poppy, but Rodrigo's gonna be in his element, bro.
Like Johnson would be great to have.
He was built for CONCACAF.
I want to see Faku. I want to see Gaston Gonzalez. I want to see Martino Hayda. I want to see Mauricio. I want to see all those guys on the pitch. I wish I can because I think all the young bucks, I'm playing the young bucks. I'm letting them rip it open. I want to see Ramiro. I would love to see him start. I mean, put those guys in the game, man, because if we're going to win – that's going to be how we do it. If we're going to shock anybody, it's going to be with the young kids just punching Tigres in the mouth, punching them in the mouth. You know what I mean?
I think you really have to have, like, you have to go with the dudes. These dudes are just, and we do have a lot of these types of guys, man. I mean, a lot of our team is, you know, they're used to this. It's not.
We got a bunch of South Americans. And yeah, then don't forget, like, we got one of the best goalkeepers in the world that can keep us in any match in between
this
the play,
sticks. Who's not afraid to do some antics, too.
Yeah, you know, this CCL play style and stuff like that. We got a lot of dudes that's kind of built for that, man. Like, you're talking about Cesar. You're talking about Rodrigo. Ojeda, for the short amount of time he's been here, I'm shocked at the amount of time he goes to ground, like, taking people's legs out. You got him. We kind of built for it a little bit. I mean, it could be good. It could be bad. Enrique, for the little bit of time we've seen him, he definitely seems like he's built for it. This is like right up his alley. So you might have to just roll with them dudes, man. Just put all them wild boys out there and let them go.
Bad to me is like 4-0, couple red cards, and they're suspended at home against Tigres. A little rotation. Who cares? You know what I mean? There's not much to lose is my point. You know, even if it does go bad, red cards, like, oh, even if they get like a 3-game CONCACAF Champions League suspension, it's like, well, you know, it took us 7 years, eight, nine years just to get here. So, you know, it's not guaranteed that we're going to play in it every year. So if Rodrigo Schlegel or Facundo Torre, you know, or one of these guys – gets a red for doing something stupid and we're down or losing, whatever, you know, that's just the price you pay to give it your all and try and win the game. So let's get some predictions. Are we going to, you said one goal, Cleon, you're going to put a number to it, like 2-1 or 1-0, you think, or you think we're going to get a goal?
I really don't. I think if Enrique or Maguire or somebody is out, I don't want to play that slow style, man. I don't know. If we playing that slow ball, then we might. I think we in trouble.
4-0.
I think we in trouble.
Me too.
I think we in trouble. But I can't put a number on it, man. I'm hoping we just come back only down one goal or less. You know what I mean? Because that way you come back to Orlando, and then yeah, you still got to beat them dudes. But you got to beat them regardless. You got to beat them at least one time regardless, just to make it through, or at least even make it to penalties probably. But yeah, I can't, bro. I can't. I'm gonna go with that. We either lose 1-0 or we lose 2-1. 3-2, something like that. But if we can keep it to one, we can keep it within one goal, bringing it back to Orlando, then that gives us a shot. You know what I mean? We can go and
there's a chance.
Yeah, we got a chance. If we only down one goal, then if you could pull out a Poppy special at home, 1-0, something like that, take it to PKs. You never know what happens to PKs. I mean, we ain't never lost in PKs, but you never know what happens to PKs.
Yeah, Ryder, you said maybe 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. That's that we're coming away with that.
I'd take that all day.
I think Cleon's right though. Coming away with that kind of deficit where we have a chance in Orlando, that's the victory. I think getting a point in Mexico is a hang a plaque kind of moment.
You could, Alex, you could be Ryder, you could be right though, because I could see it being a low scoring game like that, just like 1-0. Because I'm sitting there looking. I'm looking at T. Grayson.
Having trouble scoring lately.
But they don't give up goals at all. They don't give up goals at all. They give up less than a goal a game.
We're not getting more than one on them. We got to make the most of it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They give up less than a goal a game. And this is through – shoot, this is through 30, 40 games, bro.
Yeah, this they're is on already, the tail end of – they're only 7 matches from the end of – their season, they're in the tail end. They're in late season form, and we are 3 matches in and slightly panicking about our offense. So either Poppy's gonna shout now and switch hands, or we're just gonna edge one out. I don't want us to walk away without at least scoring one goal. That's even if it's a 2-1 loss, like you said, and I think this defense can do it. I think walking away with a 1-1 draw would be a win on both sides of the ball.
All right. Well, here's what I got, boys. 1-0 halftime. We're down. Tigres scores in like the first 12 minutes, right? Kind of shakes us up a little bit, but we hold it off. They get a couple more chances. We hold it off because Pedro, 1-0 at halftime. We bring in Ramiro, Enrique at halftime, starts off a decent, a little bit shaky, but then he finds his groove. We get a goal. Somebody does. 1-1, right? 1-1. And then there it comes. 90th minute, baby. Dub. We're going to shock him, I think. We'll get a goal. That's if we're going to do it, that's the way it's going to happen.
Who's Tigres, scoring the second goal?
Tigres thinking, 1-1, like the game's over. Like this is what we have to settle for. We'll go to Orlando, and then us kind of just taking that little extra bite at the end, the cherry on top. If it's going to happen, that's the only way it does. And I'm always an optimist. So 2-1, I think we have a chance. If we can do it, that'll be the way it's done. If somebody scores a second goal, it's probably going to be somebody like Faku or Ojeda or maybe Gaston Gonzalez. I wouldn't be surprised to see him come in as a substitute and make a difference. This guy's waited a long time to not only play this match, but to play in this situation. He was built for this too, I think.
Alex, I'm going to put you on the spot. You already said Enrique for the first goal. Who's going to score the second one?
I don't even know if Enrique will score the first goal. Maybe Faku gets a brace. I don't know. I just know that Enrique may change the game. Like Cleon says, it doesn't matter that the 9 gets the goal. It just matters that the team gets the goals. So I don't care if he gets the goals. I just care that he makes a difference and getting hopefully the goals to make it a change or make a difference. So 2-1, we're going to do it. That'll be the way we do it. I wouldn't be surprised if we do it and then come back home to Orlando and blow it in front of a half-assed crowd because nobody really knows about it. It's going to be on a Wednesday, but that's a story for a different story. And I can't really say much. I mean, if we win 2-1, I might do what I can do to get up there from Key West. I'll obviously see.
I don't think we're scoring two goals. I definitely don't. But if we do, it's going to be somebody like completely stupid getting a goal, bro. It's going to be like Rodrigo, Kyle Cesar, Smith. Pedro off a header, Pedro off like a last second header, something like that.
Smith did have two late match winners last season, so I'm laughing, but it's possible.
All right, well, see. We'll go to a. I mean, we parked the bus, and then you never know. We get a corner or something. That's how we did it. That's exactly the type of goal that I'm actually talking about. To be honest with you, you know, something like that, where we actually do a long corner because we know that it's the last chance.
Might even be our own goal, bro.
So we actually kick a full corner. You know what I mean? One time,
like the St. Louis first ever goal. Was it their first ever goal of their existence or their first?
No. Bro, they're 2-0, bro.
I know, but they. But was their first goal ever an own goal, or was it?
No. First game, first goal at
the new stadium. Okay.
Their first home goal was an own goal.
Well, let's talk about the next game. It's on. I'm going to assume like every game 7:30 on Saturday.
Saturday at 7:30 p.m. In DC
at Audi Field. DC
with the football lines.
What are they? 1-0-1. They got 3 points.
I had them pulled up.
They haven't been playing too bad, I don't think.
They are 1-1.
Yeah.
They lost to San Jose at home 2-1, and they beat Toronto at home 3-2 on Saturday. Wait.
Toronto's having
some issues. I'm misreading that.
They made a miracle comeback.
No, Toronto was on opening day. They lost to Columbus in Columbus.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, either way, a team that always likes to give us troubles, don't they? They love to. DC United, still managed by Mr. Rooney himself, I believe, up there.
Hair plugs and all.
So, always a team that just loves, no matter who's playing for them, just loves to really get to our under our skin. But how are we going to do? First road match of the year. Last year, we were phenomenal on the road. Last year, we were horrible at home. This year, we're not so bad at home, maybe through two matches. Are we going to hopefully see consistency and have be good on the road it's again this year? What do you think, Cleon? What are you thinking about DC? Are you worried about DC? Are you think we're going to have a hangover? You think it's going to be like the stereotypical trap game, you know, between two matches between Tigres? What are you thinking?
First thing I was thinking when I saw DC on the schedule was oh, I'm going to see my boy who won. But he hasn't even got on the field in the first two games.
Whew.
Yeah, bro. I just looked up. He ain't played a single minute through two games. So I guess we're not going to get that. I don't know. I'll be very disappointed if we lose to DC. They're just not that strong to me. So. Yeah, I would be. I wouldn't. Yeah, I'll be. I'd definitely be tripping on
you. Do you think the Tuesday Tigres game has a big impact on this? You know, if we do get a 1-1 or somehow get a result, do you think?
Honestly, no. I don't think it makes a damn. I don't think it makes a difference because I just don't think they're good like that. I don't think they're good like that. So I think even if we are playing a halfway squad next against them, that'll be a bad loss. That's a bad beat. That's a bad beat if we lose them.
Well, we were talking about, you know, things, underlying issues that we've seen before. Well, what do you have a prediction?
I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with the 1-0. No, we can't just keep shutting people up. 2-1.
Okay.
2-1 win.
Us, we're gonna win. All right, Ryder, how about you?
I do think that this is going to be impacted a small amount by two factors of the Tigres game. I think it's going to be partially how the players react and feel and how the coaching staff reacts and feels. Because if we do either Cleon or my scenario where we have a chance and we need rested players, I don't think some of the big names are even going to make the trip to DC. I think they're going to stay, get rested, and get ready to face Tigres on the 15th. But at the same time, if we either dominate or get blown out, and it's either a lost cause or we just need to continue the momentum, best 11, throw them out there. I don't know where the headspace is going to be for Poppy, but I know the players, especially like you were talking about Facundo not wanting to come off after 55, 60 minutes. He's going to want to play in this. They're going to have to strap him to a gurney to keep him back in Orlando to keep him out of DC. But in the end, this feels like a match that I don't think we're going to win purely because we're not going to put our best team on the field and we're still plagued by that Wayne Rooney curse. I think this is a 2-1 loss on our books that honestly will not feel as bad, especially if we look good on the 7th and 15th against Tigres. So I say 2-1 loss, DC gets us again, even though Wayne Rooney's probably feeling an emotional burn from Liverpool beating Manchester United 7-0 today. So
had to slip that in there.
Had to slip it in there.
I'm going to say 3-1 loss against DC United, simply because I just picked us to win against Tigres. And if that happens, there ain't a chance even Pedro makes a trip to DC on Saturday. So, you know, Poppy will be there just because Marshawn Lynch, so we don't get fined, you know, and I think it'll literally be the definition of a throwaway game, because if you go and get a result on the road in Monterrey, you have to assume that you can do the same at home, you know, and you have to have full focus on that match, especially with 7 days.
No Monterrey.
But I just picked us two. So given that, I have to follow it up with it. Now, if we go out and we get smoked 4-0, I agree with Ryder. We get smoked 3-0, 4-0. And basically it's just a formality that we have to show up and play at home and play 90 minutes. You know, we have to be there. Then I think we'll play it all. And I think we'll at least get a draw. We'll definitely get a result. Just because they're our boys. If our boys that play are the same boys that gave up the two goals last year after the 90th minute, they're going to feel that still. And I think they might be still pissed off. And I think that could actually be, I mean, a dub for us if those boys play, you know. Now, if they're sitting because we got a big old match against Tigres, the biggest, bigger match in Orlando City history, then I don't blame them, you know.
Hey, look, if we go to Monterrey, even if we just lose 1-0, and then we come home and we lose to DC, we come home and then we go to DC and we lose there, I'm going to let you know right now, OC Twitter is going to lose their mind. They are going to lose their mind, bro. Like, I get it. I get it. Cause like, let's say we don't send the full team or we don't start the full team, whatever the case. Yeah, bro. Cause it's Orlando City Twitter is already kind of tripping off the draw we just had. Right.
I agree, but I won't be losing my mind. Yeah,
but they've never had to deal with this before. We've played one international competition in the Leagues Cup against Santa Laguna, and we didn't spare anything. If anything, international competition in the past has spurred us on. Look at that Arsenal match that meant nothing. That changed. I thought that was the spark that lit a fire under us, and we lost that.
The spark was we changed up top that game. That's what it started.
This is what I'm talking about. So, I mean, if OC Twitter doesn't understand and every OC Facebook, whatever.
Not what I'm saying.
Oh, God. OC Twitter's going to freak out.
OC Facebook's going to be dead.
On meltdown fire mode. I agree with you.
Strategy.
You're right to that. I think you're correct. That OC Twitter would melt down 1-0 and then like a 2-1 loss to DC. It would be just shambles. You know what I mean? But then again, three days after that, we could be looking at 2-1 at home versus Tigres.
Or you could lose again, which is the likely scenario. So if you were to go,
this isn't the NFL playoffs.
And you go 0-0, you come off 0-0. FC Cincinnati, lose in Monterey, lose in DC, lose to Monterey again. Hey, bro, I'm telling you, it's going to be World War III up in here. It's going to be World War III on OC Twitter, bro. I gotta
unfortunately,
you know right
I think that that's the likely scenario.
That is the most likely scenario.
This is what happens when have to play a lot of games early in the season.
On paper,
5 matches in 15
on paper,
days.
DC is the only one you got a shot at on paper. That's the only one you got a shot. Bro, we go down and we lose to Mexico, which is very highly likely. You lose in Mexico. Lose, then lose to DC right after that, and then lose to Mexico again, get eliminated. OC Twitter is going to lose their mind.
1-0, I think, would be an absolutely horrible result for us in Mexico if we lost 1-0, because that is just – the definition of false hope. If we lose, I just pray and hope it's 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. Because
you want a quick death instead of hope?
Please give me a quick death, please. Because, like I said, that's why I'm happy that we have Tigres in the first place. Because it's a quick death if it is a death. If it's not, then we put it all towards that. And screw MLS, because we beat the odds on favor. So now we're the odds on favor.
Maybe the reason I don't want hope is I'm not even going to get to watch the second leg is because I'm going to be somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. So,
bro, you know what the bad part is? Even if you get your storybook in and you somehow pull off some miracle elimination of Tigres, we still got the hardest schedule going. It's not even like it just gets maybe it's a little easier than Tigres, but as far as everyone else, we still got the hardest road to get there, bro. We got screwed. We got, bro. You need to go look at that bracket. We got screwed, bro. It ain't just Tigres. We got screwed. Unless there's some major upsets happening, you're gonna have to go straight through all Mexican teams all in a row, like 4 straight, bro. It's the problem.
I don't think it's happening, but we could have hope and pray. All right, well, let's go into shout outs. I'm gonna start off. I'm going first. I'm gonna shout out. Do a positive on them. Shout out St. Louis FC. Stadium looks beautiful. I know it's right in the heart of downtown. My wife's from St. Louis. Her family is pumped about it. Her parents are telling me how excited the city is, and it really looked that way. I mean, the people didn't sit down at all for the whole dang 90 whatever minutes yesterday. 3-1 victory again. So they've looked impressive. I'm glad they're in the Western Conference, to say the least. At least that's what it's looking like to start out. And, you know, all power to them. Keep beating everybody except Orlando. I'm good. It's always good to have expansion teams come in and show that it can be done differently and maybe effectively. Who's next?
Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to shout out myself and my patience. That's what I'm going to shout out. Because I've had a short fuse for about the last four home games the last season. Kept getting into little incidents and things like that, but this match I brought. I finally got one of my Orlando Magic basketball friends to finally reattend Orlando City match. Mind you, this guy, he ain't been to a game since like 2018 ish, something like that, right? So I want to shout out my own patience for having to sit there through an entire match and hear dumb questions like, where's Kyle Larin at? And hey, what happened to Carlos Rivas? And hey, where's Justin Merrim? And questions like this, and Rafa Ramos, and all these players, I forgot even still play for Orlando at any point. And I sat there and I said, you know what? I'm trying to take one for the team. And bring a casual back, and hopefully they'll get they'll get re-energized for Orlando City and maybe reattend another match. Yeah. So I took one for the team, and I dealt with all them dumb questions. And normally I would have lost my patience. But so, yeah, good job, me.
I commend you. I can't believe that Justin – I mean, I had Justin Meerum. There was a of 25 card, and it was when he was Orlando City. And the guy asked me if I wanted it, and I told him that he could just throw it away. I don't want that. Just I'd make it better, one less of those in the world. Now there's only 24 of them. Robert Ryder, we got a shout-out.
Yes, I do. I want to shout-out Will Farrell, partial owner, whatever, of LAFC, who was recently interviewed and said he would, if he had a day with MLS Cup, which if he truly wasn't given that, then his money has not been fully rewarded at LAFC, and they should fix that post haste. He said, I probably would go around the world baptizing babies in it. That would be the goal. Fill it with holy water and a little Coors Light. No one has done that before. That's what he said. And to that, chef's kiss. That's what I want to hear, even if it's a minority owner. That's what I want to hear somebody say someday. I can't wait for the day that Orlando wins MLS Cup and Kay Rollins is asked that question, because I can't wait for the answer. It's going to be, I'm so excited. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Shout out to Will Ferrell. That's what you want to hear. That's what you should be doing with MLS Cup, not taking it to a strip club in Atlanta and almost getting it lost along with your dog.
Oh, I disagree.
You got to think that.
I disagree.
I knew that was coming. You got to think that Apple TV said that they're coming out with that new Hard Knocks version style. You got to think
Atlanta United. You know, I'm anti everything Atlanta United now. That is, but if they have done one thing right, that is the only thing I've ever seen them do right. And that was seeing the MLS Cup up on stage at Magic City.
What were you going to say, Alex, about the
I was just Knocks? Saying Apple TV came out and said they're doing a TV show, like a Hard Knocks style for MLS. So they're getting with the creators of Formula One's Drive to Survive on Netflix, and they're going to do something similar on Apple TV. And I got to think it's going to be LAFC, at least for the first season, if they center in, because, you know, that's probably like a softball. That's just a right down the middle, an easy one. So we'll probably have to wait. Let's see, there's 27, 28 teams in MLS right now. So that means we'll probably have to wait 34, 35 years for an Orlando City version of after Vegas. What? And
after Vegas enters the league in a couple
other ones, I'm sure. So
baptized babies or strippers and lemon pepper wings? Give me them wings all day, boy.
All righty, well, appreciate y'all listening. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel.
We have editor's notes.
Don't forget before that, though, or go ahead, Alex, go.
Editor note for Hafnarfjordur, Iceland, the birthplace of Dagger Dan Thorolson. The elevation there is 45 meters or 148 feet.
I was about to say, I don't do meters, bro.
How many school buses is that?
No clue.
How about
how many kegs of beer is that? How many kegs of beer stacked is that?
How tall is a keg of beer? 2 feet?
We're American around here. We don't do meters.
I would say it is, I don't even know. As opposed to Monterrey, Mexico, where it is 1,772 feet. They did not list meters. Here we are, that's meters, a lot of kegs.
That's a lot of kegs right there.
That's a lot of Dos Equis.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, I would say. But I'm hoping the guys don't have too much problem with it, but that would just be hope, I would say, because considering we live in like 8 feet. above sea level. So we'll see it. But we can hope. I appreciate everybody for listening. Like we said, check out our YouTube. Check out everything that we have. Don't forget to join us on Den After Dark after the game. We'll be doing it tomorrow, or on Tuesday rather, too. Which will be tomorrow if you're listening, the day that we release this on Monday. And then on Saturday, we'll be doing it. We're going to shoot to do it 10 to 11 because all the matches typically start at 7:30. So shoot to do it most of the days at 10 to 11 every Saturday night. So don't forget to join us there. Thank you all for listening.
Like and subscribe. Yeah. Orlando Lions Den podcast on YouTube.
Hit us up, go on Instagram, reviews too.
Instagram, Twitter.
Go listen to Mike's interview as well.
We have a what's it called that? I'm old. I'm the old man here. We do not have
a TikTok yet.
Not the TikTok. I'm talking about the other one, the Reddit or some crap.
We do not have a subreddit yet.
Oh, a Discord. That's what I'm talking about.
Discord's coming soon. That's a secret.
Maybe
Discord is coming soon. That's a teaser.
I guess it ain't a secret.
Well, that's Alex's problem. Secret's out the bag.
We will bring details soon
for the Discord.
All right,
coming soon.
Thank y'all for joining us. I doubt anybody's even listening this long, anyways.
They ain't.
All right, y'all. Thanks, y'all, and we'll see you on Den After Dark Tuesday night. Thanks again, y'all. See you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.